Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, this is Seth Payne.
And Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast?
Of course I did. Oh, you're asking everybody else. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts whenever it works for you.
That's right. The drive is live, and it's a Victory Monday. How about that? You got your victory t-shirt on top?
Damn right. Time.
Hell yeah. A little Victory Monday in this.
How many of those you got, T?
I get a new one to start each season.
Okay. Do you?
I do.
Okay.
I mean, you go in the same design, or is that different? I don't remember.
It's the only one I've come across. Same design.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
There we go.
Did you do it?
No. The fine folks of Homage.
Okay.
Boy, did this city and Tyler need it.
Oh, you ain't lying.
They need a pretty good weekend for you. SC, A&M get a dub at the crib as well, and a tight one against Arkansas. Against Auburn, and then our two teams. Disappointing efforts, but that's all right.
Don't do Kansas like that. Don't put them in the same category.
Number six in the nation, baby.
It was ridiculous. It's 40 plus. Got to do it. Got to be able to score 40 plus at home and win.
basketball will be here soon.
Got to be able to pull that off.
Start destroying everybody.
Got to be able to do that. Quarterback throws for 450 and four touchdowns. Got to be able to pull that one out. But the Texans, huge game, and we will get into that. Your thoughts, by the way, 3:00. It's becoming a thing here on Mondays. We will hear from the people at 3:00. All right, we don't want to just hear from you when they lose. We want to hear from you when they win as well. So be ready at 3:00. Tyler will open up those phone lines, and we will hear from the Drive family about the first win of the season for the Houston Texans. Before we get into this game, it was announced, Tom Pelissero, I saw ahead at first, amongst others, that the Texans are trading offensive tackle Cam Robinson to the Cleveland Browns. Boy, they seem to do a lot of deals with the Cleveland Browns. But to the Cleveland Browns, according to Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport, it's a 6th or 7th round pick swap in 2027. So Cam Robinson, the big free agent move, and I think you could argue their biggest move to address the offensive line, as they gave him $12 million guaranteed, $14 million on a one-year deal, has been traded to the Cleveland Browns. DeMeco Ryans did speak about this a bit. Here is DeMeco on reports of then moving on from Cam Robinson.
Yeah, we traded Cam to the Browns today. It gives Cam an opportunity to go play. Cam wants to play, so it gives him an opportunity to do that, and we wish Cam nothing but the best. He's handled himself the right way since he's been here. He's done everything the right way, everything that we asked him to do. So we wanted to do right by him and give him the opportunity.
All right, they wanted to do it for Cam. Good for them. Did it for Cam. Probably also he couldn't get on the field here. Clint, your thoughts here. Cam Robinson, not a real surprise. We started hearing rumblings of this when they made the final depth chart. We started hearing the thought of they may move on from one of these tackles, and we thought, well, Cam is the one that makes sense. Blake Fisher is a second-round draft pick you got 2 years ago. They would probably try to continue to see if there's some growth there with him. But they move on from Cam Robinson. Your thoughts on the move from the Texans today?
Well, this is two pronged here. One, I love the way that Nick and DeMeco, their approach to moving on quickly from mistakes that they make. I'm not sure if Ariante Ursary is a better left tackle right now than Cam Robinson. And so I don't know if it's Ariante Ursary that allowed them to cut Cam Robinson or trade Cam Robinson, I'm sorry. I don't know if Cam's, I'm a veteran, I'm going to chill through camp and, you know, maybe, you know, kind of different approach to, you know, the game and practicing and playing, and then maybe they're looking for in this particular offensive line room. I don't know if Cam not being a great fit was part of it. But either way, it doesn't matter. I mean, the fact that they moved on in such a quick manner, for me, is I just love them doing business like that. Number two is, I mean, we can't have a Cam Robinson conversation without having a conversation about how bad Nick and D'Amico have been in the O-line arena. I mean, whether it's drafting guys or signing guys. I mean, you look at right now, their top two veteran free agent signs or acquisitions in the offseason, Laken Tomlinson is splitting time with Juice Scruggs, who wasn't good enough to get on the field when guard was a problem.
And Clint, he may be done splitting.
Yeah. I mean, he may be benched. And Cam Robinson is traded to the Cleveland Browns, right? So, I mean, just another, I think, flashing red light, if you will, on the dashboard of Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryan's offensive line issues. This is not a good look in from that, you know, in that department. So glad they can move on from mistakes, but damn, how many O-line mistakes can we make?
Yeah, I was kind of in the same thought of, I'm glad, like overall, Clint, I'm glad that they didn't try to make this potential problem worse. And we've seen it. Like, there are some organizations, and I'll be honest, I think we've watched it from this one a little bit. I think they tried to force Kenyon Green to work. I think they tried to force Shaq Mason to work at times last year, and it was clear, like, you got to make something else go. Like, you got to do something else. And everything you said is on the money. This is a blunder, right? I was going back and forth with somebody earlier today on Twitter. Like, he was not an insurance policy. There was no. It was not the plan to give him $14 million, 12 guaranteed, to sit down on the bench and then trade him for pick swaps with the Browns, 4 weeks in. No, the plan was for him to take left tackle and for Titus to be a guard, and, hey, let's see who is better with our second-round picks from the last 2 years, Ursary and Fisher, and that will be the line.
Seemed like that was it.
That was the plan, and then he had that injury, and it was like, yeah, Ursary is playing well, but this guy also can't go. Hell, they saw it week one. We saw they tried to get him on the field against the Rams, and that clearly didn't work before he had to come out. So, yes, it was a blunder, but, Clint, it could have been made worse if they tried to force, all right, we're going to force this thing, and we're going to make Titus the guard because that was what our plan was, and we're going to have Ursary as the right tackle and him as the left tackle, when that just they'd be worse than they are right now, right? I think Josh Hines Allen would have done a number on him too if they left him in there, and then your right tackle spot probably would have been weaker without Titus over there. So I will give them some small amount of credit, Clint, with that they didn't make this a worse situation. But someone texted Trent Brown probably healthy. Now, I don't think Trent Brown really has a lot to do with this decision.
No, I think they, you know, they paid him and valued him as a starting tackle, and it didn't turn out that was the best case scenario for the Texans. Again, whether it was he's not a good fit or they don't believe he has the ability and Tay Ursary is just a better option. Either way it goes, it's clear, like, moving on from him is get some money off the books. I am curious to know, like, what from a payment perspective, like, how much did they get off the books and what's that look like? I'm sure we'll see with social media today. We it's pretty quick before we find out, what all that looks like. But yeah, I'm with you. I think it's, we're all going to make mistakes. They're all going to make mistakes. They're going to miss on draft picks. They're going to miss on free agent acquisitions. They're going to miss on trades. You know, the only thing I could ask and we could ask, I think it's fair, is, hey, when you make a mistake, man, let's move.
Yeah.
Let's move on from it. I hate the be patient and you look up 3 years later, the guy's still the same player you thought he was. Right? I mean, I love D'Amico's willingness to go, nope, that was a bad move. Let's get the hell up out of here. And this is one of those, I believe.
Yep. All right, so that is the latest move there. Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking it off with the juicy Week 5 matchup between the Houston Texans, and Baltimore Ravens. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, Clint, a much-needed victory for the Texans. I guess we'll get to CJ here and his grades coming up in a bit. But your takeaways from what was a must-win game for them to still have life on their goals of getting to the playoffs. Your takeaway from yesterday's game.
Well, look, I think number one, I don't want to oversell this. It in no way shape yesterday's game in no way shape or form moved the needle for me in a sense of what I think of this offense or is this offense going to be able to compete at a playoff level or is you know I still have major concerns for this offense. Versus an average opponent. I mean, that team we watched yesterday. I mean, hell, the only worst display was my Arkansas Razorbacks. I mean, that team we watched yesterday, Callahan's going to get fired. He just might make it to the season.
Well, Cam set their ass.
Well, he's already given up play calling. He's trying, but he's already given up play calling duties. And when a head coach starts that and starts shuffling the deck, man, good luck with that. So that was a pissy poor football team. But I think number one, it just big picture does not move the needle for me in terms of what this offense can do against, you know, the top half of the NFL. But I do think there are some positives to take from the game, and I think the first and the big one is, you know, hearing D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud post game last night talking about, you know, C.J. communicating, getting out of a bad play and into a good play. One of them being a touchdown to Higgins on a big throw over the top. I think that is, whether it's at practice or it's in a game versus a poor opponent or it's in a big game, any way it goes, those are reps that you can't duplicate. And so I think for me, Ron, hearing that on multiple fronts throughout the game, mostly in the fourth quarter, obviously, but, you know, that part of it is something that you can't manufacture. It has to happen in a game. CJ has to call it, see it, communicate it and have success with it.
And by God, the Titans almost looked shocked
that
anybody that they would run routes past. I mean, he had Dalton open that he missed early in the game.
Yep.
And then, I mean, that was easy for him. He was several steps with no help. You got to at least put some fear in people's thought that you will do that.
Yeah.
To back things off.
Yeah. So I think that number one, just him communicating and him changing plays and him having success and him taking shots and hitting those shots. Hell, I heard J-Lo double and triple down on the fact that the Nico Collins go ball that kind of swung the momentum in the game and started the offense to scoring some points.
Looking at second and 33 right now.
Yeah, now I don't know what the hell – I mean, that's a fire the defensive coordinator moment in a heartbeat. Second and 33 and you leave a corner on an island with Nico Collins. I don't care who it is, but no deep help and bump and run. Yeah, your ass is fired in the locker room. You might not make the trip. We might put you on Southwest. The reality of it is that was an awful defense, awful play call. But if CJ did communicate that and go to it, that is big. That is a big step in the right direction. I don't care who the defense is in a game-like situation or a game situation, not a game-like, game situation.
God, how football horny did he get when he looked out there and saw,
I used to do it with Anthony Lucas. Like, golly, y'all scouted all week long and y'all decided to man him up in a critical situation? What an idiot. Yeah, no, that right there. And then I think, Ron, this offense needs weapons beyond Nico Collins. And for Woody Marks to step up the way he did and be the Woody Marks that I remember seeing at Mississippi State. You know what I mean? He had 119 all-purpose yards, damn near half of them in through the air, half of them on the ground. He made guys miss. He has the ability to run inside and outside. True dual threat at the running back position. I don't know what took a month of football to get them to figure out that this is the guy to get a good bulk of the carries to and that him and Nick Chubb are the two guys that need to be rotating, not four guys. Not sure how they got here, what took so long to get here, but I love where they've landed with Woody Marks getting run and producing in a big way. I think those two things right there can't be minimized about this game.
The screen on, what was it, 3rd and 17, that he just was patient. I mean, it was Le'Veon Bell level patience to set up those blocks and then get it. And then that cut he made on the rushing touchdown, I think number 18 is still at the 12-yard line at NRG. He's standing sideways. Yeah. Him. So, yeah, that was huge. And we talked about it last week. He was my stock up last week, and I thought the numbers didn't show it against Jacksonville, but there were plays there for him, and it looked like they made a concerted effort to get him the ball. Look, there were two things that had to happen. They had to win, no matter what, against this outfit. And to me, there had to be some space in which we saw clear separation between those two teams. Now, it took a while. It took the fourth quarter. But 26-0, there is clear that the Texans and the Titans are on two different levels. And that had to happen. If that sucker stayed 6-0, 12-0, you know, you need them to get the win, but you feel a little different. It was clear by the end of the game, 26-0. Okay, these two teams are not.
Yep.
And they needed to have that happen.
I agree, Ron. With Jacksonville and Indy both ahead of you early in the season, for what it's worth,
Lord,
you needed to know, where do we land, right? Do we land closer to Jacksonville and Indianapolis, or are we really falling down here and going to win 6-0 at home against the lowly Tennessee Titans? So it was a fourth quarter explosion of points that was desperately needed. And so, yeah, I agree with you. I think leaving this game 26-0, Ron, it was important to feel like you're closer to the top of this conference than you are the lowly bottom of this division with the Titans being obviously in the cellar. So
I don't care. You beat somebody 26-0.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, I mean, Denver, they had a dogfight with Tennessee. So, I mean, it doesn't matter. All right, coming up, C.J. Stroud. We do it every Monday. What was his grade? 713-572-4610. CJ, 22 of 28, 233, two touchdowns, no pick. His best quarterback rating since the playoff game against the Cleveland Browns. What was his grade? We'll do that coming up next.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Here's the snap. CJ looking, firing deep downfield, right side end zone. Higgins with the catch. Jaden Higgins, touchdown, Houston. A bullet from Stroud to the rookie.
That was the second touchdown pass from CJ Stroud in that fourth quarter. There is Mark Vandermeer with the call there. At that point, you knew it was over, especially the way Tennessee was rolling. They weren't going to score anything. At that point, their kicker couldn't make regular field goals. They couldn't do anything at that point. I'd like to see Cam stop with the sidearm throw so much. That was interesting. But anyway, we do this at this time. C.J. Stroud's great. We got our Hall of Fame quarterback here. The hair was on point during the speech. I saw it. It was flowing there. Yeah, I saw what you were trying to put together there.
Some body, doesn't it? It's just thick, brother.
Healthy, isn't it? But text in your thoughts. I see somebody said, rookie season C.J. Stroud showed up on Sunday. What was your grade? Again, C.J. Stroud, 28 of 23, 233, two touchdowns, no turnovers, no interceptions, quarterback rating of 125.1. That's his best rating since the Cleveland Brown playoff game his rookie year. Four carries, 11 yards rushing. Clint, how would you grade C.J. Stroud?
I gave C.J. Stroud an A.
Yeah.
Not an A-, not an A+. I gave C.J. Stroud an A. Look, that was a game that it was fairly obvious, fairly early, that if you just played a mistake-free game, you were going to win that game one way or another. And as you said in the last segment, you had to win that sucker.
Yeah.
Even if it was 6 or 12-0, you got to win that football game somehow, some way, and get away from this losing streak, right? So I think C.J. Stroud's play probably was dictated by the kind of game that it was very quickly obvious that it was going to be. And 22 of 28 for 233 and two touchdowns is exactly what you want from C.J. Stroud. I don't recall the ball being put in harm's way one time. All right, I think two of three shots that he took were on the money. The go ball down the sideline, which shifted the whole game to Nico Collins, and the check that he threw to Higgins for a touchdown. You mentioned the other one. He missed Dalton Schultz, or who he threw it in between the outside receiver and Dalton Schultz. I'm not real sure whose fault it was, but you just flat out can't miss those. I think if he hits that, this game goes totally different. By the way, I think they run him up out of there pretty quick. That was a painful miss, but I think that was his only mistake in the entire game. Right? I mean, he was unbelievably patient. He mentioned the death by a thousand cuts is the style of offense that they want to play. And that's what he it looked like he bought in for 1 week. And he bought in. It was boring. It was simple, stupid. And then when he had the opportunity to hit him where it hurts, he hit him. I thought he used Dalton Schultz underneath in the underneath game, 6 targets, 5 catches. I thought he used the running backs, but really Woody Marks again underneath on some catches and was extremely patient. And then just drop dimes when he had the opportunity, with the exception of one. So I don't think C.J. Stroud, given what was presented to him, I don't know that he could have handled the situation or played any better than he did. Again, with the exception of the Dalton Schultz miss in the first half, man, that was about as clean a game as you're going to get from C.J. Stroud. And I know people don't want to hear this, Ron. We talked about it last night in the postgame. Now you'd like to do it against a better opponent, but ideally that's what this offense is going to look like. This offense is going to be okay with not making, when they know that the other team's offense can't score, they're not going to be overly aggressive.
Which will be the majority of the games they play.
Yeah. I mean, that's how they're going to be very comfortable in a 6-0, 12-0 game against anybody and everybody out there, with minimizing, you know, the risk with the ball, with not taking sacks, not getting behind the chains. They're going to be that is what the Nick Caley offense is designed to look like, is what we watch. Now, again, it needs to happen against better opponents, and it hasn't. But ideally, that's what you want it to look like, is, hey, CJ, be Tom Brady for 95% of the game, and then show us that ball placement specialist in the mid-range to deep game 3 or 4 times. And that's how they're going to win games. And so I gave him an A, Ron.
I thought he was really, really good in a lot of spaces. I know when you look at his numbers, it wasn't, you know, 300 yards. It wasn't, you know, 3 touchdowns. It wasn't, you know, that. There wasn't a lot of, you know, big play. Really, they erupted in the fourth quarter. Not a lot of big plays around. But listen. I'm in the A range as well. He took a lot of shots and got right back up. He was able to work through some of the deficiencies on his team, and he was mature enough to take the throws, and you could almost see it. He wanted to go downfield. You could almost see it in him. He wanted to go downfield, but he took them, and he used Dalton Schultz in a way that Dalton Schultz can be used, and is right there as an outlet. And Dalton Schultz, several times, 4 to 8 yards, he was getting, and it was easy, and he was decisive on his throws. Woody Marks as well, Nick Chubb as well, you know, they were able to get, you know, 1-2 yard dump offs that they turned into to, you know, plays where it's 2nd and 8 or it's a first down, and you know, that's really mature. And then, as you've said, he took the shots when he needed to. And when they were available, and that is the way they got to play. And as you said, now he's got to be consistent with it. But that's the way they got to play, and he did. He looked like he knew the game plan and was able to kind of go with what the plan.
Well, Ron, he's the one that's got to buy into it, because I'll be honest with you, and I don't have any inside source, obviously, but Nick Caley looks at that game and goes, he doesn't go, man, it was the Titans. He goes, man, that's what I want it to look like. That's what I want it to look like. Stay ahead of the chains. Stay in 3rd and 4th and short. Now they had to go convert 3 4th and shorts. I'd rather you not do it. Let's go ahead and get our conversions on 3rd down up, which they did by the end of the game, but it was sketchy early. Yeah. Let's take care of some of that stuff. But that's exactly what Nick Caley wants this thing to look like, man. Look, CJ's got to buy in. You know, CJ's got to buy in this week. I know you're playing a Baltimore team that's got some injuries.
What do they?
The approach has to be somewhat the same. Defensively, you got to feel like with Lamar Jackson out that you can hold them down, and you got to minimize the risk on the offensive side of the football and just slowly kind of step away from them. That's got to be the plan. Now, we'll see what unfolds, but that's got to be the plan, and CJ's got to commit week in, week out the way he did this week.
Text line coming in, A-minus. He got sloppy with the snap count and almost got killed. Text line, B-minus, didn't get going until the second half. Missed two wide open targets, 1-4 potential touchdown. Bill texting in. CJ doesn't get an A for missing a wide open Dalton Schultz for a touchdown. I mean, you're going to miss some, right?
What other miss did he have? Hell, he only missed six throws.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they're referencing some people that were open. He didn't pull the trigger on. The Dalton one is the one that stands out. I think Ross Tucker may have said another one in the call somewhere. I rewatched it again this morning. He may have said something in the call. The Dalton Schultz one is the one that really jumps out. But no, I mean, listen, you're going to miss some throws. And yes, when you're playing better opponents, damn it, you need those. But I thought he managed the game and what the game was
I thought he did too. I thought he did a hell of a job. But look, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the margin for error with C.J. Stroud is larger than most, right? I mean, the right now this defense is going to play tremendous. And when I say margin of error, I mean, you know, if you miss one throw, if you come back and hit the next two shots on a go ball down the sideline and a seam route for a touchdown, I'll take that 2 of 3. I'll take that 66% all day on balls that are thrown over 25 yards down the field, right? C.J. Stroud needs to hit the first one. No doubt about it. He's better than that, right? That's on him. That's not about heat. That's not about training camp. It's not about lack of options. He's got to hit that throw. But 2 of 3 shots is damn good. I mean, that is good. Yeah, I'll give him an A on that. Thanks, Bill.
All right. Shout out to you, Bill.
Big Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
B for Bill.
Coming up, a change that was made in the game plan, which, hell, I didn't know it was coming. I didn't know, and I honestly, I don't know how I necessarily feel about it. We'll talk about it and listen to the head coach speak about this change that occurred in the game on Sunday. That's next.
H-Town, I'm back.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, Clint, we'll have all week to talk more about this, but it is a Reaction Monday, and I'll be damned a Victory Monday as well here as the Texans get their first win at home, much needed win against the Tennessee Titans. But you brought it up. They'll be playing what feels to be a wounded Baltimore Ravens team in Baltimore, the team that they have struggled to deal with. I would say they have been the worst matchup. And they've played them all, played them multiple times. They've played the Chiefs multiple times. They played Baltimore multiple times, Buffalo. They've played all those top teams in the AFC. They played Cincinnati with Burrow. I think clearly Baltimore has been the worst matchup for them. But, Clint, they will be without Marlon Humphrey and the calf injury. He left the game early Sunday against the Chiefs, and he is out. Clint, they have announced that Nnamdi Madubuike is out for the season with the neck injury, the former Aggie. He was by far their best guy in the middle and gave the Texans hell several times when they played him. And Roquan Smith, their all pro bowl level linebacker, at least before this year, he is going to miss multiple weeks with a grade 2 hamstring. And then the Lamar Jackson news is Lamar Jackson and his hamstring injury. According to John Harbaugh, they will, the way they know Lamar, if he could have gone in the game, he missed the rest of the game because he was unable to go back in. They will see how he progresses through the week. So there's a chance Lamar Jackson may not play, and it could be Cooper Rush time in this game coming up, but, they are down a lot. Hell, their whole defensive line. Right, Kyle Van Noy, who went to the Pro Bowl for him last year, who had a hamstring, he's been out Their best run stoppers have been out. Ronnie Stanley, their left tackle, left the game with an ankle injury yesterday. Their best corner, Wiggins, left the game on a cart with an elbow issue. So this is going to be a wounded Ravens team that the Texans are going to be running to. Obviously, we'll talk more about it this week, but that is the latest with their injury situation.
Yeah, and it's much needed. Sitting at 1-3, you need to get to 2-3. The Baltimore Ravens team going into the season looked like the way the Texans started, looked like a for sure loss and one that was just kind of chalked up and moved beyond. But right now, the Texans played a little better this week. The Baltimore Ravens are beat to hell. You know, you got an outside shot for that to be a more competitive game than I think a lot of people thought it would be a week ago. And so, yeah, I mean, you got to feel like things are starting to turn with how you played yesterday. You got to feel like maybe your luck's starting to turn a little bit with what's going on in Baltimore from an injury perspective. So, yeah, that's all big, man. I mean, facing a half-cocked Baltimore Ravens football team is much needed, no doubt.
Hey, you got to get the wins when you can.
You got a hole to dig out of now.
Yeah. So that is the latest there with the Ravens. All right, Clint. Apparently, we found out that DeMeco Ryans, and we talked to Matt Burke Thirsty Thursday on the drive here last week, but apparently he gave play calling duties to Matt Burke so he could concentrate on the overall. Here was DeMeco today talking about that portion of things, that decision about giving Matt Burke the defensive calls.
Burke called plays on Sunday, and Burke has called plays before as well. We all collectively put the game plan together and work it well. He did a good job of calling it on Sunday.
All right, and he went on to talk more about them working together in terms of running the defense.
I wouldn't say it's easier. I mean, we were still talking through what plays we're running, calling. So we work well in tandem doing that. And just Burke did a really nice job. Just overall, everybody, just our sideline, our entire operation worked really well.
All right, Drive family, you can jump in on this as well. How you feel about DeMeco giving up play calling duties the way he did Sunday, potentially maybe moving forward? How you feel about that?
I'm good with it, man. In fact, I like it. I mean, given, I wouldn't like it if you just threw it out there and said, "Hey, guess what? DeMeco's not going to call plays anymore," right? I mean, I don't like that at all. But the method to the madness, if you will, there's a reason why he's doing it, and I think there's a dire need for the Texans organization to get their offense rolling, and DeMeco Ryans is not going to sit over on the defensive side of the football and do defensive things 80% of the time and let Nick Cayley and Nick Caserio and Ben McDaniel, all these other guys, handle his offense. He is going to be hands-on. We've seen him obviously overseeing the offense in training camp, just watching what they're doing and getting a good idea how things are going. This seems like it's, again, given how the season started, I totally understand. This seems like it's even a step further, Ron, of I can't even call plays anymore because this offensive situation is so rough. I've got to get this thing right. I've got to help them figure this out. If my third season as a Texans head coach, if my record is going to backslide, it's going to backslide with me doing everything I can to help this offense get right. So I love it given it's DeMeco showing how important it is to him to get this offense right. I would rather not be in the situation where the head coach needs to relinquish play calling duties. I would rather that not be the case. But the reality of it is if it doesn't take anybody with any level of awareness to understand that I think this offensive staff may be in a little bit over their head. They may need a little bit of direction from the head coach. And I like DeMeco, showing that energy.
I'll be honest. I understand why he has to do it and why the reasoning why he feels like this is the move to make. I don't love it, though, just because, and I think we're getting in the same thing, is he is an elite play caller. He is a great coordinator. He's a great defensive play caller, right? He seems to push the right buttons when it's time to blitz. He seems to put the right buttons when it's the certain coverages to play, and that since he's been here, and that since he's been with the Niners when he was a defensive coordinator. And to me, it's very similar to like, God, if I'm a Rams fan, no, I do not want Sean McVay to give up play calling. I want them to be able to figure that thing out. No, I do not want Kyle Shanahan to give up play calling to be able to look at the rest because they're so elite at it. I understand it, and we'll see, and hopefully there's no drop-off of hell. They didn't give up any points in this game, Joey Sly. But they didn't give up any points in this game, so you feel good about it. But, boy, I love elite guys doing things that they're elite at. And him calling plays, they've won the division 2 years in a row, won playoff games with him doing this. I hope this means the rest of the guys get it together. But it is dire enough what has been happening on the other side of the ball that you can understand the head coach saying, I got to give more energy to that.
Well, and you got to believe that D'Amico on game day is still involved in a lot of the adjustments or a lot of the, hey, we're going to play coverage here. We're going to pressure him here. Or, hey, we're going to shadow this receiver to take him out of the game. Or, hey, we need to run this kind of coverage to get to show problems to stop the run. Whatever it may be, I got to believe it's easy for D'Amico to make a quick, to interject himself into a conversation or a situation and make sure that they're doing what he wants. But man, I think this just shows
like the importance,
the reality. Yeah, man. He needs to do it now type of deal. This isn't we're gonna be patient and let this work. They need to get this offense right now, and I think D'Amico's actions show that.
Right back to work here on the coaches program.
Derwin says this on the text line: if he's going to be seen as a legit coach, his development of Burke is key. That makes the shout out huge, Derwin. I don't know.
Well, it'd be a lot easier if he just hire an experienced offensive coordinator that has got something to him versus trying to mold these guys and giving everybody their first opportunity. But the situation he's in.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, Derwin. I will just say nobody in L.A. last year was saying, boy, if he can get the development of Nick Caley going, that's going to make Sean McVay feel like a legitimate head coach. Like, I don't think that was the case. But as you said, he is letting us know by the way he is doing the severity of from training camp, clearly saw a shift, as you mentioned, to now even more attention over there. All right, coming up, we are going to hear from you. All right, 713-572-4610. Tyler will get you in. Your thoughts, do you still believe in the Texans after Sunday's game? We'll talk about that with you coming up next.